Well, let me ask you a question. What is it that you are believing? Are you believing that I believe in everything I preach and call that faith? Because if you do, that's faith in Leroy's faith. It will not stand up. It will not stand up. And I think that some people, man, I'm with him. But it's not him that you should be with. It should be the key that he speaks of, if he's speaking of the right individual. Are you believing that what I preach biblically is true and applies directly to you and to your life? Now, if you believe in that, that's the right kind of faith. See, that's the right kind of faith. Are you a spectator, like one who watches a play or a movie or television, or get hypnotized by the dramatic portrayals and with the entertainment or the amusement, the different movies or televisions and plays? It's easy to get caught up. A lot of people are caught up in a theatrical presentation of what men call the gospel. Not necessarily the gospel, but it's a heck of a good presentation. And they do it in a very charismatic and in a very appealing way, where if you're not very careful, you'll find yourself in the amusement situation or the amusement condition, where A means not and think, and meant amuse. Muse means to think. So when you're amused, you stop thinking, actually, and you let them do the thinking for you. Very dangerous place to be. It's one thing to watch a movie. It's another thing to hear preaching and get amused by it and not hear it for what it's really worth. Are you willing to participate, receiving instructions which are pertinent to you and applying them as appropriate? Because that's what this is all about. I'm just sort of a harbinger, if you will. I'm just up here just telling you. That's the most power I got, is to say what he gives me to say. You know, when the church sees the provision of earthly good and things, when they see that as the blessing of God or the blessing of the Lord, if we're not very careful, we will be focusing more and call him the Lord of the blessing. We need to be very careful as we receive these things. When we do that, our focus is move from the Lord, our blessing, to the Lord who gives us earthly possession. We have to be very careful. There's a general provision that God provides for every individual on this earth, saved and unsaved alike. I've been thinking about this and thinking about it for many, many weeks. And I get a car, and the meanest man in the world gets the car too. So mine is God's blessing. So what is it for him? If mine is God's blessing, if that's Jesus' blessing for me, he gets the same thing I get. What is it for him? You see? And so what, I've just been going through this. And there's a different kind of a provision. The provision of this world is something that's provided for every man. God provides for every man. The Bible says he causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. And if you listen very closely to some messages, you hear them calling the provision of God the spiritual blessings of Jesus Christ. It's the provisions of God. God provides for mankind. He provides for food, clothing, water, shelter for many. He provides that for mankind. The Bible tells us, and this draws this distinction between us, to love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of God, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for what you're going to say to us today, and help us, Lord, to speak and hear it and receive it in the spirit in which it was sent. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 12:2 says that we should be not conformed to this world, but that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To not be conformed to this world is to not follow or act or do what was once comfortable to do in this world. At the outset, especially for new converts, it's probably not so easy. As soon as you come in, not so easy. But one worldly involvement is all that new convert ever knew. So the salvation experience being new should excuse such ignorance during the formative and informative stages of the new convert's Christian experience. We who have been saved know what it's like to be hit with some of these doctrines, some of these new doctrines and new ideas, and for them sometimes to floor us or to knock us back. And so we understand that. Now, for those who name the name of Jesus and still openly, unashamedly, without guilt or condemnation, participate in worldly ways, you're either one, not saved to start with, or two, walking in open disobedience. Right? One or the other. Either not saved or you're just walking in disobedience. If we've been around long enough. If you're not saved, then run, don't walk to the Savior. And obtain a true conversion. How do you do that? You don't go snatch it out of his hand. You go fall on your face. Say, oh God, am I saved? I need to know. If your salvation can be shaken by anything in this world, you can be shaken by a lot of things in this world, but if your salvation is shaken, then it might not really be salvation. Now, I'm coming close here. I'm kind of plowing close to the corn here because it's not my place to say an individual is not saved. So if I hit a couple of the corn stalks, just forgive me. But we really need to always say, be circumspect about where we are in Christ. And listen, you might be saved and acting like you're not saved. Well, there's a price to pay for that. It's called the chastisement of God. And don't come running to us saying the devil is trying to kill me. The devil is on my case. Well, if you belong to God, it doesn't necessarily have to be the devil. Okay, I'm going to do that again. Sometimes it'll be y'all ever had that whip? I've had that whip. You know, when you was young, when you get hit and you do like, ow! You know what mama do when I do like that? She drop another one. Yeah. I would tell her, I'm not going to do it no more, mama. I'm not going to do it no more. She said, I know you're not going to do it because I'm going to beat you. Well, anyway. If you are saved and living in open disobedience, just repent. Just confess it. It's not that complicated. It's so simple. It'll surely save you a lot of heartache and trauma. You say, but I'm going to do it again tomorrow. Talk to the Lord about this thing. Are you listening to me? There's peace here for you. There's peace here for me. Do I do it right all the time? Y'all tell me. I stay with it. I miss him. I miss it sometimes. And let's go to him. Hey, Lord, guess what? That was dumb. I know you already know. Please help me. Listen, this is free. This is freeing, what I'm telling you today. This is freeing. So you don't have to be struggling with the law so much. I still have those up there because they have their merit. But we're in a higher place than the law of Moses, a much higher place than the law of Moses. You know, there will be no homeless shelter in the lake of fire. That was a big jump there, wasn't it? No Christian relief workers. No presidential health program. And for the unfortunate people, there'll be no social workers. No Christian witnesses. No food relief services. Only the judgment of the lake. But Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture, will find food, will find nourishment. Nourishment strengthens. Pasture speaks of peace and repose and rest. Jesus said, I'm the way. Psalm 90:12 says this, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's a big request. And Ecclesiastes 12:1 says this, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not near, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When is that? When are the evil days come? When you say, I have no pleasure in them, when the evil days come. I'm not talking about the day of the Lord. I'm talking about the age, sickness, and the pain, and the weak eyes, and the body weakness, and all of that that comes. He's calling it the evil days. When you're young, you don't have all these aches and pains, and can't have see, and can't have get around, and you can bounce right up off the floor, and straight up. And when you get old, well, with me, I have to crawl over to the chair, get some momentum going, and then I get up and, okay, and then I get the circulation going here and the circulation going there and get ready, and I'm going about my business. Now you can't stop me, but there was a time if I was down there, bang, I'm up and gone. I could jump across those chairs just about, not that much, that would be crazy, but I could, you know. And so he said, well, when you've got that kind of health, remember him then. Just go ahead and just dedicate all you have to him. But when the evil days come, it's still not that you shouldn't dedicate yourself then. Verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And I've jumped many verses here. But let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We belong to him. It's our entire duty to fear him. Not to say cower, but to respect him, your maker. Fear God. Fear him. And keep his commandments. Keep his directives. He's not trying to stop you from living a good life. He placed these things in so that you can live a good life. Of course, the light shined in the darkness, the Bible says, and the darkness comprehended it not. Many men say, I will not have this Christ rule over me, because they love darkness. 1 Corinthians 7:29 says in part, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. The time is short. The time really is short. It says in verse 31, they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. 5 years ago, I decided that I would enter the drop program at work with the state. Folks asked, you think you're going to make it? I say, 5 years is a very long time. I hope I do. They say it ain't that long. Yeah, that's what you say. But it's 5 years. 5 years is over and done. It was like it was yesterday. Whoop! Just like that. And I was 14 years old one day, and I couldn't wait to be an adult. It was just like that. Listen, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, it's not a whole lot of time. Is it, Tom?
No.
It's not a whole lot of time. We say, well, I've got my life ahead of you. Do you?
They're burying them at 1, 6 months, at birth, 15, 30, 50.
There is no particular year or time. Listen, the Bible says to redeem the time, that we should redeem the time. Ephesians 5, 14 through 16 says, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And Colossians 4, 5 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. That is, those that are outside of the body. Walk in wisdom towards them and redeem the time. Redeem the time. What time? It's the time that you've got here on this earth. You don't have that long. You really don't. I'm 61. Where did the time go? Where did the time go? I started college. Wow, I got a whole 4 years. Oh, man, I sure hope I make that. Good night. That's a long time. I've been out of college since 70-something. Here I am, 61, 62. Where did the time go? I didn't see it. And it seems like, and we know it's not true, but it seems like the older you get, the faster it goes. It is
true. Oh, Lord.
Whether you realize it or not, a record is being kept of our lives. Whether you realize it or not, somebody is keeping books on us. How we live, how we go about our lives. Now, it's not a man that's doing it, but God has a record keeper on every one of our lives. He is so intimately aware of us that every one of us have particular fingerprints. There are no two fingerprints alike. There's no two voice prints that are alike. You even walk different than anyone else. I can see Janet walking down the street down there, and I can recognize her from the way she walks. I can recognize you, the way that you walk. I can. And you can recognize me if you paid attention. Even our walks are different. Everything about us. He knows and has named every star in existence. Our God. And books are being kept. Revelation talks about books being opened. The good news is there's a book of life there. And in that book is where your name should be written. So that all of this, it'll be covered by the blood of Jesus. Y'all there? I'm not being mean, I'm just sharing with you now. Psalm 39:5 says, behold, thou hast made my days as an hand breadth. That's a span. And my age is as nothing before thee. In other words, all of time is swallowed up in eternity. Our little time of life is nothing compared against the backdrop of eternity. I don't know that it would even equal a punctuation mark as it would in a sentence compared to eternity. It's like a hand's breadth. It says, verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. It's the best that you can do. It's altogether vanity. All of life's activities in the natural, the projects that we have, the plans that we have, the schemes that we run, are all soon to come to nothing. Our bodies will one day return to the dust, and we'll both pass from sight and the memory of men. Every once in a while, something happens to me. Every once in a while, after a while, of course, the same happens early. But every once in a while, somebody will say, yeah, I remember Leroy. Yeah, it's a book gone. Because life continues on. James 4:14 says this, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? What is your life, James is asking. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. A vapor. It's like a little puff of smoke. It says, it appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. Isn't that something? What is your life? It's a vapor. And vanishes away. Vanishes away. I happened to bring my father up this morning. Not that I sit around thinking a lot about him. I don't. But it just kind of fit in the message. But I don't sit around and grieve anymore over his loss. His death. My mom's dead. I don't sit around and grieve over that. My brother, or my family. I don't grieve about them. I think about them every now and then. But life goes on. They had their time, they lived their life, and now here we are, we continue. This is what it's like. This is life. Think about it now. What about you? You've lost loved ones and friends. Remember the sting, the hurt that you had? But you don't walk around with your head down over that person for the rest of your life. It takes a little while sometimes. You kind of feel a little better. After a while, you barely even think about them. Come on now. Y'all, is that right or wrong? Tell me, I'll change directions here, but you know it's right. It's just you didn't love them any less, but that's what life is like. It, out of sight, they say out of mind. Absent from the body makes the heart grow fonder, but out of sight is out of mind. After some time, you sort of get a little better and just go on. See? Now, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, he said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavy laden is burdened. Are you burdened sometimes? Do you have things that are on you, on your mind, seemingly plaguing you? Jesus just said, come to me. He didn't say all Jews. He says all ye that are burdened and heavy laden. I'll give you rest, repose. I will give you the relaxation that you need as an individual. Paul said this concerning the purpose for which Jesus came in 1 Timothy 1:15. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom he said, I am the chief. Where it says that Jesus came to save sinners, this is inclusive of all men. All men, since all have sinned. So, it's inclusive of all men. The work that Jesus accomplished has enough power to save every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Everybody. All. It has that much power. All men don't accept him, but there's sufficient power to save every man who will come. He said, come. There's sufficient in it. He said in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world that whosoever, that covers every, when he says whosoever, we don't have to say, well, he's just speaking to the Jews, or he's just speaking to his family members. When you say whosoever, that's whosoever believeth on me should not abide or live or remain in darkness. And if any man hear my words, and believe not, he said, if you hear them and don't believe, guess what he said? I don't judge him. I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. In other words, whoever will hear and believe, I'll bless you. But if you hear it and don't believe, I'm not going to judge you. I did not come to judge. Did not come but to save. The message is simple. And the message is very straightforward. Believe Jesus. Very straightforward. And you say, wow, this is a salvation message. I feel like I'm saved. Oh, this is more than just a salvation message. It's more than just that. Yes, the salvation message, but it's more than just that. Romans 5, starting in 6, says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. He showed his love. Let me ask you something. What if he asked you to make the first move? What if God came and came to you? And think about it. If he says, I want you to make the first move before I send Jesus, would you do it? It's a trick question, and it's not a trick question. Knowing what we do now. Well, knowing where we are now, but outside of Christ. If before Christ came, if God said, man, I want you to make the first move, and then I'm going to send my son. But Jesus wouldn't have made it. Why men are too selfish. Men are sinners. I'm not going to give myself for you. It's all about me. You want me to make the sacrifice so that the rest of y'all can benefit? Man ain't made like that. Thank God he didn't do that. Thank God he didn't say, Leroy, I want you to make the first move from where I was years ago. No way in the world I would have done it. No way. Mm-mm. I would have reasoned and did all kinds of things and said, okay, I'm going to make the move in my way. No, I want you to make the move in this way. No, I'm going to make it in that way. I'll make this move and I'll call it that way. But we'll get tricky. Which is what I was doing. I was doing a certain thing and I was calling it something else. Well, it didn't matter because I was on my way to hell anyway without Christ. But I'd cloak it and change it and make it something other than what it was. Much more, it says, then being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciled to God by his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His life. Jesus said in John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The question is, will you hear the call when he descends, when he comes back? He's going to come back with a shout. The Bible says, with the voice of the archangel, there's going to be a shout, a trumpet when he comes. Man, we've got to be in the right place in order to hear this, but we need to be in the right place now. Listen, it's a very, very serious, serious situation that I'm talking about. Now, we just want to make sure that we're where we need to be. Everybody. I heard a man preaching one time about everything but Jesus. Everything but Jesus. The prosperity of the world, what God, where God wants you, what he wants you to be, how you need to be this, how you need to come up here and bring that and do this and everything. And it lasted as life forever. I was listening because I promised to listen to someone and I almost turned it off in the first 3 minutes. But I said, I gave my word and I suffered through that message. And trust me, I suffered through that message. And at the end of it, he called the musicians up. Y'all get ready to play, and there's a whole lot more to this, but then he said, if anyone here does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and it went off. I said, wait a minute. It's by the preaching of Jesus that men are saved. He didn't preach Jesus. And so they cut off, but I'm sure that the way the folks was acting, they came up there and said what he said, say. And said, praise God, I'm saved, and went on right back out to like they were. And then were confused and wondering why they're not living if they read their Bible at all, why they're not living. But listen, if they go back to their church, they're not going to get a gospel message. They're going to get more of that stuff that he was preaching. And so these poor people will spend their time and not redeem the time listening to an erroneous message about Jesus and believing that they're saved when they're not, because they did not receive Jesus. They received whatever that was he was talking about, and they put Jesus and attached the name of Jesus to it. We've got to be careful. We've got to read the word. You know why people don't read the word? You want to know why people don't read the word? They don't want to know what it says. Because if they read the word, then they're accountable for it. They don't want to know what it says. They don't want to know what it commands of their life. Well, I'm not a good reader. Can you read at all? Well, yeah, I can read some. Well, read what you can read. Folks won't read the Bible between Sunday and this day because they don't want the Bible to tell them what they need to do. They want to do it their own way. But if you belong to him, you would have a hunger and a thirst for his word. You want to know what he has to say to you. You want to know from day to day to day. You'll read it or you'll find a good message, a Bible-believing message, and you'll listen to it. Or you'll get devotionals sent to you in your email. You'll carry a little booklet or something in your pocket. You'll have a little notepad. You'll have yourself surrounded by ways to get this and receive this message. But folks will come here and take off their little righteousness robe and hang it at the door and come back and get it and put it back on and clap and sing and we have a good time together. But you're supposed to walk out with it and walk in with it. It's something that you wear all the time. Colossians 2:6, as we close, says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Such an awesome scripture, for it says that the way that we were saved is the way that we must live. You didn't get saved trying and struggling. Likewise, you can't live your life on your own strength. You didn't get saved. I hope I get saved. I hope that God saves me. I want to be saved. I want God. That's not how you got saved. The Bible says, by grace ye are saved through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. But then once you come in, then your life should follow in that same direction. And my friend, if your life is not following in that same direction, you need a checkup. Either you're not saved or you're walking in open disobedience. One is worse than the other, but the second one is bad enough to walk in open disobedience. If you're saved and if you stay there, if you're not careful and you don't repent and you don't change, he'll take you home. It'll be a what they call a premature death, but it'll be a death nonetheless. He will take you home than to let you stay here and continue to live that kind of life if you belong to him. That's the ultimate end. But in between that and that point is this. If you say you without sin, the Bible says you a liar and the truth is not in you. That's you and me. But if you will confess your sin, that's the thing about it. For a person that doesn't know Christ, sin is the way of life. But for those that know him, when it touches you, it's really icky. It's nasty. It messes with your peace. It messes with your joy. It messes with your who you are. All you want, and you may not even realize it, is that you want that off of you. But no amount of showers, physical showers, will wash that off. No amount of sunbathing will get rid of it. No amount of shouting. Some people try to shout out. You can't shout this thing out. None of that will get it off. Will cleanse you. It is the one thing that Scripture gives us. It's a confession of our sin to God. Do you know what that confession says? Lord, I agree with you about my sin. That's all it is. I agree with you about my sin, rather than covering it and trying to pretend, well, it's okay, God understands. We have needs, you know. Well, God might understand, but that still doesn't make it right. He might understand, but it doesn't mean that he accepts it. The people say he understands, so that's supposed to mean it's okay, I should continue on in this way. But he understands, what is it that he does not understand? Somebody tell me that. Well, God knows. That's another cop-out. What is it that God does not know? Tell me that. One thing. He said, if there's another God, I don't know it. That's what he said. If he doesn't know confessed sin. That's two things. That's good, brother. God doesn't know two things. He doesn't know confessed sin, and he also doesn't know if there's another God. He says, if there's another God, I don't know it. So listen, if you are in this place today and this message hits you, if you're questioning your place in God right now, just get it straight before you leave. Because what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a while
and vanishes away.
And, you know, go to now who says, today and tomorrow I will do thus and such. How do you know what you're going to do tomorrow? How do you know that? But it say we should say, if it be God's will, I will do thus and such and thus and such. I'm so glad to see y'all, but y'all might not see me next week. We don't know. What I'm saying is, we don't know. I might not see you next week. See? So, well, I got time? Really? How do you know that? How much time you got? Anybody tell me how much time you got? Tom, what you got? Yeah. In other words, you don't know. None of us know. None of us know. Say, well, I'm young. I'm young. My life is before me. Really? Okay. Yeah. Your life is before you right now, it is. But you got to get from here to home. Just not. The Bible says that everyone dies. Everyone dies. What it doesn't say is how, and it doesn't say when, does it? We don't know. Well, I guess I got an antagonist over here. I don't know. If you don't know him today, it's as simple as this, and it must be heartfelt and true. Not because I say it, but because God is stirring in your heart to know him, that God is speaking to you, to say to him in your own way, Lord, I don't know you, but I want to know you. I need you in my life, Lord, and I want to be saved. If this is the step that I need to take, and you say it is, then Lord, save me. And Father, I thank you for it. If that's you, that's how we approach him. But it comes from your heart. It's a true, heartfelt, true confession to him. Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, I want to know you. Please touch me. Please save me. And Lord, please give me the courage to make it public in Jesus' name. And if you know him and there is unconfessed sin in your life, and y'all know we all got some of that, then confess it to him before you leave today. And let him cleanse you of that, of all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse you. That sin that we can't seem to get off of us will simply melt away from us if we simply confess it to him, agree with him about it. I should not have treated that person like I did. You told me that I should walk in love. But Lord, that was not a loving thing that I did. So please forgive me and please help me. And please touch me that I won't continue in that way. Or I should not have taken what I took. Or I should not have said what I said. Or, oh Lord, I dishonored you in this place. And it's just been bothering me. And oh God, please, I confess that to you. And I thank you that because of this confession that you have forgiven me and that you cleansed me from all unrighteousness. How I thank you, Lord, for this. And make whatever confession is necessary and get clean before him so that you can hold your head up again and be proud to be called a child of the King. Amen. Thank you for this word today, Lord. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for who you are in our lives. Father, please don't let us leave this place the way we came. Help us to leave changed, having heard your word and also agreed with it and agreed with you. Be with us, Lord. We would love to see one another again next week. But if we don't, Lord, then we know that absent from the body is to be present with you, which Paul said is far better. But either way, Lord, may your wonderful will be done. And we thank you once again. In Jesus' name, amen.